This is a project that's still in process. We're wrapping it up right now. What we looked at, it was an effort, quite apart from the title, it was an effort to get a handle on the extent to which intellectual disability was being included in national surveillance internationally. Specifically, we looked at 11 different countries. Now, we pretty much knew what we would find going into this. We've worked with international data systems before. I should say we pretty much knew what we weren't going to find going into this. But there were a couple of subtexts to the project that really I think are of core importance to what we were doing. One of them I think is actually a nice, both Barbara and Rune gave me a nice segue. One of the issues is this utility of impairment in surveillance. And the impairment we were specifically interested was in intellectual disability. To what extent does a sort of a generic disability surveillance represent the lives, the status, and prospects of all people with different forms of impairments in these countries? The second subtext, which, and I was hoping Barbara would get to it, was this issue of statistics and policy. And it's how do is there a way to create statistics that have greater policy visibility? And the third subtext was the ostensible reason, which was trying to get a handle on surveillance. So and to what extent is intellectual disability captured in these systems? I mean, there's an old evaluation saying what gets counted gets noticed, and the question was how much is intellectual disability being counted? For those of you not familiar, there is a context, a background context for intellectual disabilities. The idea of disadvantage, one of the most consistent findings that we have in intellectual disability is the relative disadvantage of individuals with an intellectual cognitive impairment compared to other disability groups, and the data is primarily from Western Europe and the United States. The question is, to what extent is this represented in other parts of the world? It's kind of a compelling question because most of our data is in the form of income or employment data, but is this a function of sort of the character of post-industrial societies? When we get into some of the more rural developing countries, you know, do we still see this relative disadvantage? And there's the it's compelling just for the whole entire issue of the fact that the vast majority of the world's population lives outside of the borders of the United States and Western Europe. And we really don't know much about them and what's going on out there. And again, the issue of visibility. This project emerged from discussions that had occurred within Special Olympics International about their need for national information that they could use to try to increase the visibility of their primary constituency, which are individuals with intellectual disabilities. I don't know about you, even when I was a direct care worker way back in the day, I've always been familiar with Special Olympics. It was something that people that I worked with would go off to. My sister-in-law has been involved with it all her life. As I got involved with this project, I've become acutely aware of their power that this organization has to command the media and public relations and their access to government entities internationally. And the thought of them being able to communicate quickly and efficiently messages about needs and status of this particular constituency became very real because of this access. So that was sort of the genesis of it. We studied the countries that have been part of an ongoing attitude study that Special Olympics has been involved in. And these were countries that were a mix of developed and developing countries, north, south, east, west. There were Brazil, China, Egypt, Germany, Ireland, Japan, Nigeria, Northern Ireland, Russia, and South Africa. So what we included in our canvas of the data systems was a mixture of censuses, of course, but also recurring household surveys and service registries, that is, administrative registries of people receiving services. Now, this is unreadable, so don't try, but I just wanted to give you a sense of what we were trying to do. This is a summary of the recurring data sets we identified in China that goes down the first column. What we simply did in each of these data sets is identified whether there were census, a probability-based survey. Again, it had to be recurring, or a service registry. We identified whether they picked up a generic disability code. These were, for the most part, functionally based, and whether And then these were the cases where they would have more of an impairment-based screen, whether intellectual disability was captured. For those of you who can see it, there's a bunch of threes in these cells. They should be check marks. I'm sorry, I did a cut and paste and my fonts got completely messed up. What we did is identify the ministry or agencies they were associated with, the frequency of implementation. The idea, again, is we were looking at whether there was a base of recurring data that could be accessed to create an index. Going across the columns, we looked at the content of the surveys, whether they collected aggregate household information, like income. Many of them had housing types, codes, work and employment, of course, level of education, health. Income was a fairly frequent type of recurrent survey. Social participation was a little bit rare. Examples would include, for example, in Japan, they have a recurring survey on use of leisure and time for the population. Northern Ireland had a travel survey that was implemented, and they actually did have a disability code in that, not an intellectual disability code. And then the last column, we looked at whether they were monitoring services that people received. Oh, my God, I've got 5 minutes. Okay. Here's a summary of the data systems, what we found. These are proportional systems. So we looked at of the total recurring systems, what proportion included some other disability code, that's in gray, and what proportion included intellectual disability codes, which is in yellow. Overall, we looked at about 120 different systems. About 70% had included some kind of disability code. About 30% included intellectual disability code. It's not as impressive as it sounds. Much of this was mostly in the form of headcounts in terms of status and prospects kind of data. It was pretty limited. All right. So we're seeing gradual integration of disability into surveillance systems. Intellectual disability lags far behind. Now, what did we do with some of this data? We were playing with this in terms of creating an index. And we wanted to play with something that fell along the form of other international, nationally comparative indices that have been used, for example, Freedom House Index, the Gini Index, Human Development Index. What we did is we took these domains of data, and they're listed as school access, integration, inclusive education, work participation, open employment, institutionalization, the adherence to standard rules, and we scaled it on what I refer to here as a modified human development index. This index that goes from 0 to 1, scale-free, the idea being the closer to 1 you are, the better. The idea, can you set benchmarks? What we did a little bit differently is rather than set absolute benchmarks, for example, 100% of kids with intellectual disabilities should attend school, we set them relative. So if that the general population of a given country, if only 50% of the children attended elementary school, the benchmark would be 50% of the kids with intellectual disabilities. So that was our general scale. Again, an unreadable overhead. I'm showing it just to show you the extent of missing data. These are the yellow pieces. The rows are the different countries. Each country, which is identified in blue, has two rows, general disability, intellectual disability. Those are the index marks. And just to give you, we even cheated. We didn't draw all of the data out of the recurring data sets. We had to go to special studies. We had to look at special reports in order to extract enough data. And even then, we were coming up short. So I just want to give you a sense that the index is really more a good idea than an actual statistic at this point. Here are the results of the index. And again, take it with a grain of salt. Again, zero would mean an absolute discrepancy between the disabled population and the general population. One would be actual equity. And again, in yellow is intellectual disability, and in gray is general disability. The things to note from that. There's just a few observations. First, you can see the general disadvantage of disability generally, both in the United States, Western Europe, rich and poor nations alike. Doesn't matter. There's a disadvantage. Secondly, there's even a greater discrepancy for individuals with intellectual disabilities in these countries. All right. And third, relatively speaking, being in a wealthier nation doesn't necessarily make equity that much easier to achieve. For example, both Germany and Japan, which are some of the wealthiest nations in the world, have these relative index scores are doing far worse than other countries such as South Africa, or on par with countries such as South Africa, which obviously are not as wealthy. All right. So let me wrap up. A few caveats. The first phrase, the quality of underlying indicators, this is my polite way of saying, you know, garbage in, garbage out kind of thing. We have very limited data. But again, I think the point of this this pilot study wasn't so much the derivation of very specific statistics, but trying to get a handle on the extent to which intellectual disability was being canvassed internationally. Secondly, relatedly, I think I had mentioned, even though 70-30% of these of recurring national surveillance systems included disability and intellectual disability, the quality of the data was very limited, and their actual utility or use of it was even more restricted. And then finally, I think that on a positive note, that what our canvas revealed is that there's a very rich extant surveillance system out there that serves as a potential basis for collecting some additional disability data if we can convince groups to start or nations to start including those in the in their coding systems. Lastly, I'd like to just sort of conclude this idea of developing an index and benchmarking. I think that while the construct validity is always under question, people are always debating them. They do their function. They serve their function very well. They very efficiently communicate real complex themes and characteristics, and certainly disability is one of them. This is real. They're very useful. It's a shorthand way of facilitating visibility and priority setting for countries, and this is certainly something we'd like to be able to do a little bit more. One of the things that we haven't really looked at in this field is a comparison of countries, looking across countries, except for some general narrative summaries. There's good reasons for that. I mean, disability is very much embedded in culture. It's very much culturally constructed. And it's the idea of doing cross-national comparisons is conceptually and methodologically very daunting. What we were trying to play with here was a way of trying to compare countries within themselves, this idea of looking at how they have achieved equity within their countries. This is the old ICIDH2 notion of handicap. And what we were comparing countries was the relative handicap across countries. So I go back to the old saying, what gets noticed gets counted. I'd like to add a corollary to that. What gets noticed and compared across countries really gets noticed. I don't know if you went to the opening sessions yesterday, but virtually every speaker mentioned the United States standing in terms of other industrialized countries. I mean, that is just a gripping kind of statistic, and I think it's something that we could use very effectively. So just to conclude, a couple of main points that I wanted to pull out of this presentation is one of the things we do need to do is think about how our surveillance statistics can be used to grab attention. And secondly, you know, in our push to broader definitions and more universal conceptions of disability, especially as they play out in our surveillance systems, we also need to think about what the loss of impairment data could mean to specific groups who may not be faring as well as the average. So, thank you.